If you receive revelation, it is brought out that it was a separation of his spirit and his body at Calvary. Well, that is, the veil was rent in twain, which means two. And the Bible said he made within himself twain. In the book of Acts, it says he made within himself twain or two. And the veil being rent in twain means the Lord part separated from the Christ. He made in his body both Lord and Christ. And the fleshly part being Lord is any Lord over his house, as we would say. Sarah calling Abraham Lord. So the veil being rent in twain, the spirit, which was Christ, was separated from the Lord part, which we call Jesus. And in that, it signified that your body is now dead because of sin. He that knew no sin was made your sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And it signified that your body was dead because of sin, or that is to say, because he came in the image of sin, God smiting his own son, or that is, we esteem him to be smitten of God, bruised for our iniquities, the transgressions, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And yet he knew no sin, but was made in the image of sin to make an end of sin. For Paul in his revelation, having received the knowledge from the heavenlies, being caught up into the third heaven, he spoke of the body as no good thing within the body, and the veil of the temple being rent in twain, as referring back to the state again, as to the type, back to what we were saying, and the theme of our thought is to Paul, that we'll bring out in a few minutes. He rent the veil in twain. Brother Taylor sings, he rent the veil in twain. So into or separated the body from the spirit to make a, give us a more sure word of prophecy and make a more sure way into the holies of holies, the Bible said, that is, in his flesh. So when he done away with the image of sin, Paul used the terms that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, destroyed sin in the flesh and abolished death within his flesh to bring to light as to that that was given us through predestination or foreordination as to them that were elect in Christ before the world ever was, to bring to light, or that is to say, understanding the predestinated sonship of God or the sons and daughters or these things that was given to us in God before the world ever was, to bring them to light. That is to say, at the rent veil, when the veil was moved, the veil of death and the veil of darkness and the veil of intellectual reasoning was taken away, then came forth the lovely mind of light, which was the mind of Christ, or life. And light, he brought to light life and immortality. So in that, we're coming now down to this place as to Revelation 12, and the battle was in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the devil and his angels fought. And the Bible said the devil and his angels prevailed not. There was not found any more in heaven room or place for them. And they were cast out into the earth. The Lord said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that he knoweth that he hath but a short time from that time on. He knows he's defeated. So in that, we see that Satan has been cast out at Calvary. The veil has been rent in twain. And in that, Paul said, there's no good thing within my flesh when Christ completely fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. He folded up the body of sin, which was under the law, and laid it away, therefore doing away with the law of sin and death to us who have real life. And we're no more under the crushing impacts of the law of sin and death. And so they were preaching more and more the faith as to being a ministry, as to the perfecting of your faith, to bring you into the perfect faith of the Son of God, for the translation to cause the body to come into the adoption, or to wit, adoption as to the redemption, to come into immortality, as the Thessalonians change it, we're moving more and more toward. But anyway, to say that, to say this, that it was a strange thing, but Mr. Paul remained unnoticed as just a small activity on his part in the areas of Atlanta, where he is now such a great giant of a man. Until our security, Brother Johnny, had been taking him the tapes of the revelation of Jesus Christ that God had shared with us, taking them to him through a man by the name of Mr. Shivers, who run the Woolworth place. Brother Shivers has been down. We've talked to him a number of times. As a matter of fact, he sometimes contacts us by mail. Now he's in another area. But they were having Bible questions over at Brother Paul's church, and Mr. Shivers began to take in these tapes, and he began to study the tapes, according to Brother Shivers, and come back and answer the people's questions with it. And then immediately he started a series of televised preaching called The Revelation of Jesus Christ over the TV, and then ballooned into a 10,000-person church. Whereas I tell my wife a lot of times that someday the truth of Christ will get into the hearts and minds of people that are going to compromise with a charismatic way of life, as to demand nothing as to bodily conformity, whereas the Bible said, be holy in body and spirit, to be therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, to go on to perfection or to a full reward. I said someday it'll fall into the hands of those that do not believe in anything when it comes to living a good, godly, holy life like Christ, but just people that want to wallow in the mires and sin and having the gullible desires of the things of the world and being vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind with their knowledge, thinking that they know something when they don't know something as they ought to know, and every man's ways being right in his own eyes, and those people having their own ideas, as the Jews going about as one that beateth the air to establish their own righteousness, stumbling at the righteousness of God, which is by the Lord Jesus Christ. In that he said, your righteousness hath to exceed that of the Pharisees and scribes, or that is of self-righteousness, to come to the righteousness of the Son of God, or you'll not be able to come in. Coming into the supper without the wedding garment, you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. But anyway, as to non-conformity, these people, I said, someday they'll get it as to a praise, just to get into a religious, ritualistic praise. Whereas the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But to get into a ritualistic praise, and then coming into those things, they won't require anything as of to the world, and the devils and demons and everybody else can come in. So you'll have all kind of people, wicked people, unrighteous people, ungodly people that love the things of the world. The Bible said, the love of the world being you, the love of the Father is not there. And these people that just love prestige and money and the things of the world, fame, popularity, whatever. I said, someday it'll get into their hands, and when it does, it'll bring the end of the world, because the thing will greatly balloon just overnight. And, of course, this is beginning to happen to Mr. Paul. As a matter of fact, his theology is that it's called kingdom theology. Whereas that's good, you know, I don't see anything wrong with talking about theology, but I never could understand why that people who have facts want to mess with theory. You know, I can see the world getting them some kind of theory or writing some kind of theology because they don't know anything else. But they have to enlarge on what they can search out or find. But when you are sons of God and you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things, and you have the facts concerning God in all things, why in the name of reason do you want to go back to a theology or some kind of theory, the study of theory? So, he has a theology that is called the kingdom theology, and not as to say anything of the man, but as to the defense of the gospel. The Bible said, I'm sent for the defense of the gospel. I'm sent for the defense of the truth. And, of course, that's why Jimmy Swaggart and him crossed up. They differed on his ideas. But, believe it or not, the theory is so wrong that not too long ago he went to Jim Baker before Jim's fall and to Pat Robinson and told them that God had given him a vision that they were the two prophets of Revelation. Where I told the brethren that was absurd. I said, there's a typical thing. He's somehow messing with the Revelation, different things. His mind's got allegoric to that extent, and he is. Caught a little bit of something he don't understand. Of course, immediately after he said there were the prophets, you know what happened to Jim Baker and you know what happened to Pat Robinson. Pat denied the Lord by going political. As we said that he would do, that's what he had on his mind. Politics, and a number of others have politics on their mind, including Mr. Paul. And of course, Mr. Paul is relating to Oral Roberts. Has to get Oral to give him the accreditations that he needs for his college and schools, which will probably take about 5 years, supposedly. But anyway, his idea is, he said, I will prove that the state and the church can come together, and not only as to that point of agreement, but to the extent that when they come together, they will complement each other for their work. Whereas that is true, the church and the state can come together, and the church and the state will come together, and when they do come together, then both of them will be rotten and stink in the nostrils of God. After that, all of this corruption is moved away, and the Christ of heaven comes to establish his throne throughout the 1,000 years millennium reign. Then the state and the church will be together, and he'll be at the head of all of it, and it'll have a sweet smelling savor under God, as it did after the flood and after the ark of Noah and the wicked was destroyed. So right now the old raven is just out picking on the dead that's floating around from Calvary's experience, and that God said, this is like unto the days of Noah, the waters of Noah to me, and the old demon spirits are just out there with the dead that's twice dead and plucked up by the root, and that the Bible said they that live in pleasure are dead while they live. They're out there, and the old ravens is out there floating around with them and picking on them. But the little dove doesn't mess with that kind of stuff. It went back to the ark, and it's safely within the body of the Lord Jesus, staying right within your heart until we make that divine crossing, and that over the tribulation period as to the waters of wrath, or to Calvary to come out on the other side and ordain our Savior, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, to where the wonderful world of light and godliness will be there. So it looks like that Mr. Polk is headed into a great era, and as great as his plans are, he is fixing to do something that does not tally with the Bible at all. You can't evolve into the kingdom. This weird idea of some people that has come up with the idea that you just revolve into the millennium and into righteousness, and by your intellectual evolving that you soon establish a great economy. They don't understand how cunning the devil has been, and how that he has sidetracked them and taken their minds and polluted their minds, not having a love for the truth that God's turned them over to a reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned, and that they are going on to an evolving of their intellectual genius to come to the headship of Antichrist. That's exactly what Antichrist will do, to exalt himself above God and everything that showeth himself to be God, to show that he is God, sitting in the temple and showing himself that he is God, whom God shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, or that is to say, the Christ revealing himself from within the human temple as to the saints of God, the bright light of the revelational understanding will completely cause the intellectual darkness as to a veil to dissipate, that the mind of Christ might be revealed as to its glory, its light, and of its immortality. So we can see what great error so closely would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And we see this is coming on the scene now, even with men like Paul Jr. Naturally, the papers will cater to it. The news medias will cater to it. The world will go after it. And millions of people will follow it, because the Bible says the world loveth its own. And they see that that will fit their crooked way of life, fit their gullible desires of life, and it will fit their way of doing things and their thoughts of never having to die as to the natural body. Whereas the Bible says that Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. But I can assure you that this body is going to go through a change. Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, even concerning the immortality, as from terrestrial to celestial, from this mortal to immortality, and as to the Thessalonian chains, it's going to happen to them that have really passed from death unto life in their spirit." Them that have come to life as passing from death unto life in their spirit, that have brought their angelic innermost beings into the heavenly places of God by the transformating of the mind and the translating of the spirit, will experience the transfiguration of the body as to the ultimatum, as to the change. But at the same time, many hundreds and millions, thousands of people, whatever it might be, they're going to follow after the pernicious ways of the cunning craftiness of Satan and the intellectual things. I'm not holding anything against Mr. Paul, Mr. Swagger, and anybody else, but it was the, right now they're having a dispute, they're having a difference, and Paul and Mr. Swagger are really at it, whereas also Turner, the man that has the big television station in Atlanta, Georgia, he and Mr. Swagger's at it because of a bill that's over $200,000 they're having a difference over. And naturally, they're going to do everything they can against Mr. Swagger, because when a man's down, the world has a tendency to put their foot on him. Whereas Paul spoke of blaming somebody to their face because there was to be blame, and Mr. Swagger was to be blamed because of the undermining evil thing he did. When a person does that evil, dirty thing, they need to be blamed. But nevertheless, he did it, and Mr. Polk and Mr. Swagger is having a problem. And the only thing is the papers does not highlight the fact that Mr. Polk did the same thing. I remember seeing him years ago on TV, and I passed by, and the Lord spoke to me. And I said something to my wife and some of the others. I said, "There's a spirit of lust has got him." I said, "He's fixing to fall. His dad, his people are some of the most outstanding people in the church of God there is, clean, upright people. And Junior was also clean and upright. But immediately after that, he fell. Same token that Mr. Swagger did. Of course, they put him out of the church, and he was out for a number of years. And now he's come back, and the papers, of course, doesn't remember that, or the new people coming along doesn't remember that. So Mr. Swagger is in the fire, and they are magnifying Mr. Paul, not knowing that. But you know, the one thing that we need to know, folks, is that God is merciful. He does forgive. He does love us. And when we make mistakes and stumble, he will lift us up. But the Bible teaches that all fornicators, all liars, all adulterers, all people that do those evil things shall not enter in through the gates of that city. And the Bible tells us that once we've come to the knowledge of the truth and then we do those things, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour the adversaries. And there is no atonement for willful sin. Atonement was for us while we were yet in our sins and our ignorance. Coming to the knowledge, having accepted Christ, if we go that way afterwards, we do not have any atonement. Only the wrath of God. So I said that to say this, that coming into these places and understanding these things as we see the end of the world coming, we see that a lot of men are rising up, a lot of things are taking place, and they're pulling after them hundreds and millions of people. And the people are gullibly going after them instead of stopping and asking God, or searching, they gullibly go after them. I've made this statement a lot of times. It would take a man or woman or whoever, they would have to be poorly in their minds to go to town to buy an automobile and walk up to a salesman and he says, here it is, and give him the money and ride off. That would be a person that didn't have much of a mind. And a person that will just follow after somebody without actually going everywhere, searching and feeling out and learning and going back to the book as the absolute, that's a poorly minded people that are taken into snare by the Bible said, and the children of this world are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. He just does anything he wants to, and through his intellectual doctrination, he pulls millions of people into the pit. If I was going to town to buy an automobile, I'd want to look around, I'd want to try it out, I want to find out was any good or not, I want to try the motor, I'd find out all about it. Another thing, see if it's what fit my thoughts, my desire. And believe it or not, we do have an absolute as the Word of God that I hold in my hand right here. We do have an absolute. And this is a proven, authentic, vindicated thing down through the centuries. And there is not another book in the world like it. I've heard people say, oh, there's the Koran, and they named many other books. I have checked them out of every following that I can find, every book as to a religious God, and they are nothing but foolishness. It is a bunch of fanatics. It's foolishness. It's so weird that you would wonder that even a sober human being could absorb it and believe it, let alone accept it as a religious basis for their soul salvation and eternal security. But we do have an absolute that has been proven. And in this, we have something for faith. For I'll say this again. Not too long ago, you remember me relating this to you, that they had a publication in the paper that there was, from all over the world, the different faiths coming together. You probably remember that in the paper. And I said, folks, this is a great error. I said, there is no such thing as all faiths coming together. I said, the Bible said there's one faith, and that by the hearing of the word of God. There is no all faiths. There might have been many believers in the world coming together. For the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. But that doesn't save you. You're not saved by believing. You're saved by faith. And there's a difference in faith believing as to world believing. For all men have not faith, as we said in the beginning of our thoughts here. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and the Bible said, in the latter times many shall depart from the faith. That is, they'll leave the word and the truth, be turned over to reprobate minds, to believe a lie and be damned because they did not love the truth when they heard it. So it said they would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know or believe the truth. As I said, I would check around. I would shop around. I would try to find out what was going on. If it was me, I'd want to know what was going on. I wouldn't go somewhere, an old hostile spirit. It would take an ignorant person to go visit an assembly or any place of tutoring as to a religious thing, to subject themselves to the time as to try to listen to some minister and then go there with an old critical, light-hearted, mocking attitude, an old reprobate mind. They could never see nothing but the mud that was on the glasses when they got there, because they've splattered so much on there before they get there, they could never see anything good. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good coming. But if a person would clean themselves up, come with the right kind of attitude, and say, now I'm a human being, I've got an understanding just like anybody. I don't I don't lift myself up to be nothing. I'm just going there as a human being as I would college, school, or anywhere else, to listen, to see what they've got to say, and to feel for the truth and the understanding of it with all soberness. Whereas the Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They will go to college. They will go to school to set with a sober mind, to try to learn and to understand. And if they know that that's a historical thing of many gallant men and women and men that's given their lives a study that they're going to hear from as to the orator or the preacher, whoever you might be. But see, people that come to church, a lot of religious people, they don't have any reasoning at all. They get something in their mind and they go off with it on a wild tangent, and they don't listen at nothing, and everything they do listen at, they run it through the garbage can before they get a hold of it, and it's not fit to eat once they get it, so they can't tell the difference between good and evil. The Bible said the good is for them, or the meat is for them, that all that is the strong, they have by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. And the Bible teaches that when we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, we come into the sanctuary and presence of Almighty God to be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of foods, and that we should take heed how that we hear, and that we should take heed the way that we hear, to incorporate it in our lives and to use it for the benefit of Christ instead of trying to incorporate God into our plans. You know, we need to let him incorporate us into his plans. He hath one plan, and his doctrine is, what I say to one, I say unto all. So I said that to say this, that even the children of the world are wiser, and yet the Bible teaches that they that have never really been born again as to have the light and spirit of God on the inside, they'll not see when good cometh. How can they judge a situation when they're not even judges? Whereas the Bible speaks of the saints, saying, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And that at the house of God is not man speaking, but God. Let all the world keep silence. They're being taught by God. All should be taught of God. And so then, I say again that when people listen, they should listen with open heart. They should come with open heart. And they should listen very carefully, very reverently, to find out what is right and what is wrong. Believe it or not, in reading the Mohammedan points of interest, they've got some things that are outstanding, religiously outstanding, that founds itself 100% on the Bible. And some of it is just as foolish as it can be. Same way with the Book of Mormons. They have the same way. And you find that in all of them, it's like when Satan quoted the word to Jesus standing on the mountain, he quoted it verbatim. He took the word, and the Bible said they have changed the word or truth into a lie. And he stood there and actually changed the word of truth into a lie and quoted it to Jesus verbatim as to word by word. But the spirit and motive, his incentive was to kill and destroy with the word. That is to make the word fit the gullible desires of self and of the flesh, and to cause the word to come into a place to where Satan can use it for his own evil influential powers to conquer and to bring about his government. So it's so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But folks, there is a truth. There is a God. There's a wonderful revelation of the Son of God, and is given to them that love the Lord. And when they come to know the truth, the Bible said the truth will make you free from all of the bondage or beggarly elements of this world as to your gullible desires and plans for self. To make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. To equip yourself with a mind to suffer, the Bible teaches. And in this, I see so many millions of people. They cannot see when good comes. How can they judge a situation when the Bible said Satan, even Lucifer, the god of this world that loves the things of the flesh, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot even see when good comes? How then can they judge, or how then can they lead anybody. For the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. So, judging themselves to be wise, the Bible says they have become fools. And their foolishness is seen and shown by their ignorance everywhere they go and everything that they do. So what we need to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in that we cannot do anything. The Bible said the knowledge of God is higher above our understanding, even the professors and the colleges, all of our studies, all of our religious diligence. His knowledge is so high above ours, even higher than the heavens is above the earth. And the only way that we can obtain unto it is just come as a simple, plain, humble person in humility and bow down before him, realizing that we're nothing but specks in the universe, and that it's up to the Almighty God of heaven to give us understanding, to accept us, and that he has more grace to the humble, to stop the mouth of the gainsayers and them that are going about with their foolishness, the Bible said, deceiving whole households, mouths that need to be stopped, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, in that they take this wonderful day of grace that God has given us unto salvation to use it for their gullible desires of practices to obtain their goals, their motives, and their means, put him to an open shame by crucifying him afresh. Wouldn't it be wonderful? The Bible said to thirst, to hunger and thirst after the things of God, and ye shall be filled. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we down deep within our heart would be sincere and just cry out to God and ask of God that he would be our Savior, our God, guide us, help us, lead us, teach us, tutor us, and tell us his wonderful way. And then God would open our understanding and we would look back at self and we would be so utterly astounded and utterly amazed as we look back at self and say to self, as one that beheld himself in the mirror, to say, you ignorant man, you ignorant woman, to think with your self-will and gullible desire that you have had my soul imprisoned all of this time, and then realize that Satan is working through the flesh and working through people with foolishness, men to foolishness, to pervert, to distort, and to tear down, to kill and destroy. It would be so wonderful if we could find ourselves in the Lord and then be able by that to turn to thousands of others and be as it was with Moses or Joshua or someone, a great mighty deliverer that God had sent among the people, in that God had opened up his eyes or her eyes and they could walk among the people and say, my God, I know that you're my brethren, you're my comrades. As it was with Paul, he said, in false brethren, false sisters among the flock. And could just walk among the people and go back and be a great and a mighty deliverer to them that are in error, in that God has not given us the spirit of error, and pull them out by the wonderful word of faith, that they may have faith in the word of God and be saved. I'm just going to read this little bit of scripture while you're standing. It's found in the book of Isaiah. I'm not going to try to preach to you. I've talked to you so much this morning, I didn't intend to just get off exhorting you, but I do this a lot of times, as Jesus would do when he sat down in the little boat, you know, pulling out from the shore, or on the rock, or there where we ministered on the Mount where Jesus ministered us, to the Mount of Transfiguration, other places. Reading this from the book of Isaiah, chapter 24, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. That's a good thing to say right there when we was talking about not being able to evolve into another world as to this intellectual governmental way of life. It said, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. So there's going to be anything to evolve. And maketh it waste. so there's going to be anything to work with in this world. He said that the world is going to be waste. John said that I saw the nations of the world, even the cities of the world, crumble to the earth. He maketh them waste. And it says, and turneth it upside down. So it's going to be hard to evolve into a new world and it upside down. And scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it's going to be hard for the inhabitants who are scattered abroad to come together to carry on something. A scattered people in a world that's upside down, that's been laid waste and emptied out, it's going to be hard to do any evolving. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller. God's going to bring an equality. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled from the Lord, for the Lord has spoken these words, this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men live. That makes Mr. Polk in great error according to his kingdom theory. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry hearted do sigh. The mirth of tabrets ceases, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down, every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets, all joy is darkened, the mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, the people there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. Inhabitant of the earth, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. Well, reading that, you can see here it says the earth shall fall and not rise again. Fall and not rise again. So by that you can see that the man's theology is altogether foolishness. And though he may have many good thoughts and may do many good things, he's a brilliant man, very brilliant, comes from a very outstanding family, has a lot of good character, diligence and perseverance, and he may do a lot of great things. But at the same time, the man is in great error, and he's going to cause great problems, and it's going to create a lot of conglomeration because he is, of now, the biggest operation in the great city of Atlanta, which is one of the biggest cities in all the world. And as we predicted years ago, when it was just a small operation as to the other, we said it would become one of the biggest cities in the world and become an international city, and the government would shift to Atlanta, Georgia, which it's done. All this happened the last few years after we predicted it, and even more and more, it's becoming the same. Let's sing a little chorus together. Say again, we're glad to have you. Appreciate every one of you. And the end of the world is here. I don't think I have to tell you that, because you're people of intelligence and you know that the end of the world is here. And it's up to us to do something about it. It's one thing to know that calamity is coming. It's another thing to make preparations. Whereas the Bible speaks of a preparation and it says, pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Because if you do not escape those things that are coming on the earth, that means that you have to pass through the tribulation period. And everything is moving in right now for the last week of Daniel, which is called the time of Israel's trouble, or Jacob's trouble. Paul spoke of making a commitment to God, and if you've not made that great commitment to God, let me encourage you, as always, make the commitment. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I committed unto him against the great day. So this morning, if you've not made the commitment, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this morning, while we lift our hands together, let's call upon the name of the Lord. Can you do that? While you've got your hands lifted with me, can you do that this morning? I'm going to ask Brother Collins to come, if he will, and pray with you this morning while our hands are lifted up together and while we're calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Our brother from out of Texas coming. While he prays with us this morning, let's consider what a wonderful opportunity you have as a people of God. People of God are so lovely and they're so wonderful. The mind of all the ages, the mind of the future, the mind of the past, the mind of the present, an unction to know all things. How wonderful it is. Solomon said, how can you speak to so great a people? Even gods, for he said, I've called ye gods. Ye are gods. Gods never die. Your God, ye shall never die. Pass over into that wonderful world of life to never, never die. Eternal gods, he said, your gods. But many people die like men because they have not the knowledge of God. You die like men, but if you ever come to the knowledge of God, Paul said, even a mystery I show you, behold a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed to bypass death and to live eternally. For the gift of God is eternal life, as our brother prays.